All right. All right. Well, welcome to Take 10, where I'm going to take 10 minutes to talk to different kid ministry leaders around the country about different topics. And I am honored to have Brother Jim Weidman with me here today. And I'm so excited to be talking with him. And I know he's got lots to share. I don't want to take a lot of time because we only have 10 minutes. And basically, I just finished doing a blog post series about the long haul. And out of all the people I know that do kids ministry, the person I know that's done it the longest, at least I know personally know, is Brother Jim. I know he has lots to say about this. So, Brother Jim, thanks so much for being on the
Sam, it's an honor, buddy. I sure love you and appreciate you. And it's an honor to be on your Take 10.
All right. Well, I am I'm glad you're here. And so what do you say are some of the keys to be in kids ministry for the long haul?
Well, I think the most important thing, just like I went into marriage knowing divorce was not an option, I went into children's ministry knowing that just hearing "well done, my good and faithful servant" was the only thing that was going to be an option. And being willing to do what I need to do to keep myself finishing strong. I've done a lot of teaching over the years on different points of finishing strong and stuff. I think, you know, what Paul told Timothy is you got to keep yourself stirred up. And one thing that, and I know for me, my attitude, the Bible says above all else, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. And, you know, one of the things that I've talked to you about, we've talked about, you know, there are certain gauges that, attitudes like altitude, and you've got to keep your eyes on certain gauges. And one of the gauges that I keep my eyes on constantly is my thankfulness. And I want to make sure that I appreciate things and I don't start taking things for granted. And I know that there's a lot of there's a lot of things in children's ministry that frustrate you. But, you know, even Jeremiah felt that way. The Bible says, Jeremiah said, oh, to be an innkeeper in the desert. In other words, he wanted to run a Holiday Inn in the middle of nowhere. And, boy, that set me free. Jeremiah had a day when he wanted the folks to check in one day and check out the next. And so, again, I think it's just important that you've got to keep yourself fired up. There's times you have to go to your happy place. You have to remember that the same God that called you is the same God that's going to equip you. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, do you ever think about quitting? And I said, yeah, every Monday. And, you know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we might have thought about killing one another, but divorce was not an option. And that's the way it is with kids ministry. You know, I want to finish strong. And so, doing those things to remind me of what God's called me to do in the first place is real important.
That's great. That's great. Now, one of the things, you know, I think there's a lot of people that, that would love to hear, you know, someone who's been in it for so long and seen so many things and so many like trends come and go and so many people come and go. If you could go back in time and tell young Jim Weidman something, you know, to help him for the long haul, what would you like specifically tell him?
Thing is just don't be a one man show. To me, children's ministry isn't rocket science. It's all about, loving people, loving a group of kids, loving the parents, loving your workers, and then establishing in them, and which is an overflow of your heart, a love for the Word.
Yeah.
And trying to put God's Word into kids for what they need right now. And then the third thing is build a great team. So, you know, an emphasis on a love for the Word, loving people, and building a great team. And don't try to do it all yourself. You know, one of the things we talked about on another call was a minute ago was, you know, again, the best New Testament word for a pastor is shepherd. And it says, be a shepherd of God's flock. In the King James, it says, feed the flock of God that is under your care, serving as an overseer. And God's called us to teach and to preach and to minister, and that's important. We need to be feeders. We need to be caregivers. We also need to be overseers. And you know what? All three are important. All three, there's different areas that people can help us in. But all three of those responsibilities come back to us on the pastor. And, you know, I know some pastors that are only administrators, and some are only preachers or teachers. But, you know, the responsibility for all three is there. And I think that I wish I'd known that earlier.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. I think that's so important is having all three of those things. And I think that's, I think there's a lot of people that don't realize that that's what it is. You know what I mean? They think it's just one of the three, and it's, I think you hit it on the, right on the head there. Here's another one. Here's another question I've been thinking about is, with a lot of young people start, you know, when people start off and they're young, you know, in the ministry, what are some of the things you think that, or even, you know, some of the things that you think are unhealthy that people are starting, that are doing right now? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense 100%, but it's like, what are some of the unhealthy things that you could say to a young person that's starting off in the ministry? Say, hey, don't do that, because that's going to, you're going to wind up in a world of hurt if you keep doing that.
Well, I think the whole thing of just buying curriculum and going along what the curriculum says, I think that there is nothing that will take the place of a Holy Spirit-led teacher. And being able to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and look for curriculums and things that really meet the needs of where your kids are. And not everybody can create stuff or is able to spend the time and the effort and the money to create things, but it's just looking at, you know, what are the spiritual needs? I think a children's ministry has to be need-driven. And the biggest thing that's bothering me right now is we've got a group of folks that have a voice and an influence in the children's ministry, but they're not necessarily engaged in children's ministry. Maybe they were at one time, but I think it's important that the folks that we learn from, we find out that they've got some good fruit, and that it's not just people that blog about children's ministry that actually do children's ministry. And is that children's ministry effective, and is it working, and is it growing? And, you know, one of the things that caused me to get on back on staff at the church is the pastor that I'm serving right now asked me, he said, how long are you going to be happy telling people what you used to do? And, buddy, that hit me. And, you know, that was one of those things that, you know, I want to be able to talk about, you know, what's happening right now and the things they're doing, what's not working, what is working. And, you know, so I'm just because they're popular and flashy don't mean that they're bearing fruit and getting results and have a growing happening children's ministry. And I think y'all check that out.
Right. Well, I think that's great. I think that's great advice. And I think in today's digital age, I think you have to be even more careful than ever that you are what you say you are, I think is what it is. Yeah. I mean, because it's easy to be something else. You know, I think that's great. Great advice.
Well, we saw back in the day the difference in curriculum writers and children's ministers. And the curriculums that were written by people that actually work with kids. Was so much more effective than folks who just have a journalism degree.
Right. Well, I think that's great. Well, we have 50 seconds left, though, Jim. Is there any, let me ask you a personal question real quickly. You have like 45 seconds. What advice would you give a non-football person that knows anything about football about winning his fantasy football league?
Because you know
a lot about real football. What advice?
What you need to do is just mainly look at SEC players, and if they ever played in the SEC, just go with everything Southern. And,
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll definitely
Southeastern Conference.
Southeastern Conference is that the best? Yes. Is that the best one?
That's God's conference. Alabama and all their friends.
I know. I love it. I love the, you know me, Brother John, I love the Southern culture and how you guys are into.
You like to make fun of Southern culture.
No, I don't make fun of it. I find it unique. I find it unique. You guys love barbecue and football, and that's cool.
Yeah, we do. And we'd even barbecue football. You know, football used to be pig, so, you know, there you go.
There you go. And I guess that's how it's all connected. And then you stick hogs, too. So I guess it all revolves around the pig. But anyway,
it really does.
Brother Jim, well, thank you for your time. That's 10
Man,
minutes.
Man, I love you. Proud of you, Sam. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
You influenced a lot of people.
I appreciate
it. I'm glad God put you in the life.
All right. Same here, Brother Jim. I appreciate you. All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.